This morning we're going to talk about the idea of looking for a city. And what I mean by that is looking for a place to live. Whether sometimes we think about the suburbs, or maybe we think about an urban center, or maybe we think about very rural areas as being the place that we want to live. And so really I mean this as just a place to belong, looking for a city. And there's a character, if you want to go ahead and open up to Genesis chapter 12, there's a character of faith that we've already sung about and thought about this morning that I believe is a pivot point or an important stone in understanding biblically what it is to look for a place to belong. A lot of people, and rightly so, wonder what their purpose is in life. A lot of people wonder why they're here, what they're doing. Wonder what place is for them, where they belong. You know, sometimes we get discouraged in that endeavor. Things like shootings at schools happen. We hear about kids that were killed and teachers that were killed, and we wonder, what in the world are we doing here? What is this place? People begin praying. People begin thinking about, you know what? Maybe there's something bigger at work. Maybe there's something grander that needs to happen. You know, we think about natural disasters like Hurricane Sandy ravaging parts of the East Coast. And we wonder, is this where we belong? Is this the best there is? Well, I think as we study this morning, we'll have a resounding answer to this question. And I'd encourage you to look to the Bible for the answers, and hopefully you can be encouraged to do the same and understand where it is, where to be going. Beginning in Genesis chapter 12, we're introduced in this text to a character named Abram, who, if we understand the Bible story correctly, then is later named as Abraham by God himself. And so that is the name we most often identify with him because God renames him this Abraham. So as we work through this text and you see Abram, identify him as Abraham. Beginning in chapter 12 in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. This is a very important story in the overall arc of what happens in the Bible, because we see this as a cornerstone of what it is to believe, and we'll talk more about that as we work through this text. And we see Abraham as a great character of faith. We see God as a God of promise, and it sets up so many things that we fundamentally understand from the Bible and build from. But there's a couple of things that I want us to notice in the story, and that's first of all that God gives a command to Abraham. We see that in verse 1. It's a rather simple command in its nature, nothing overly complex. It just says that the Lord says to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. It's not hard to understand what it is exactly that God is asking Abraham to do. I doubt Abraham said, well, I'm not sure if God wants me to stay here or not. I don't think that was a point of confusion for Abraham. Particularly by his response, he fulfills this command. God gives a very simple command. But maybe the thing that holds Abraham back is not his understanding of the command, but rather his willingness to do the command. You can imagine you might hear questions more like, why do I need to do this? Or perhaps, how can I do this but still maybe keep some of my stuff or kind of half-heartedly do this? Maybe I can sort of move or I can sort of leave the land of my fathers. Those are maybe questions we might ask in this. But God's command is very simple, and that's for Abraham, you need to leave this country, leave what you know, and go to a place that I'm going to show you. We see also that the blessings of the command hinge on that command. Very easy concept to understand, very fundamental to understand. Look in verse 2. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. God issues a command for Abraham, and upon that command, upon fulfillment of that command, we have these blessings that were going to be given. That's something also fundamentally we need to understand this morning is when God issues a command, we need to listen to that, but God usually ties some benefits to listening or heeding his commandment. I think the first and foremost one is doing what God says to do. That's a blessing in and of itself, as we understand God always has our best interest in mind. But God lays it very clearly out for Abraham to see that really this is going to benefit you if you do what I say to do. He says that he's going to make him a great nation. He's going to bless him. He's going to make his name great or famous. And so you shall be a blessing. And not only does he have personal blessings that are directly to him, but he has kind of periphery blessings. And that is in verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse the ones, who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So not only is Abraham directly being blessed, but rather the blessings are so abundant that the people involved in his life, the generations after him, are going to be blessed. And so we see God issues a command. Not only does he issue a command, upon fulfilling that command, God is ready and able to do great things for Abraham. Do we see that as being true? Well, let's continue as we work through this. Abraham answers the Lord's command. Let's look again in verses 4 and 5. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abraham heard what God was saying, saw the blessings God was offering, and began to move. Literally, he moved, but he moved figuratively in the sense that he began action. He heard God's command, and he didn't sit on it. He didn't wait. He didn't say, man, I'm 75 years old. You know how hard this is going to be for me? He just did it. And not only would it be hard because he's old, he's got a lot of stuff. He's got a lot of people to care for. This is a big move. Can you imagine, as you've probably moved in your life, as a single person, a move is taxing. I've moved by myself when I only had to care for my stuff and what little I have and just me. And it's annoying enough as it is. It's just kind of frustrating and you're boxing stuff up. And of the 12 things I own, I inevitably lose a third of them. But can you imagine if you have a wife and some kids and some servants, and you're not only just like moving across town, you're moving to who knows where. And you're just kind of walking until God says this is where you need to be. That's a frustrating and difficult experience. And I'm not sure Abraham had two men in a truck to call in this particular instance. He's just carrying his stuff. But Abraham moves, it says in verse 5, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Abraham hears God's command, and he does it. But why does Abraham do it? I mean, I think on one level, we understand him recognizing the blessings that are in store for him immediately. God says, I'm going to bless you in these various ways. I'm going to show you this land. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. I'm going to make your name famous. And I'm going to bless the generations after you and the earth through those generations. Well, yeah, he has a lot to personally gain in this, but I want us to look in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 10. I'm going to suggest to you that Abraham did what he did in listening to God because he knew what really was at stake. He knew what he was really looking for. And it wasn't this Canaan land, per se. Look in verse 10 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. This is speaking of Abraham, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Let's read that one more time. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. I don't understand a lot of things about how the early earth worked, about what it was like then, but I imagine there weren't too many cities in the sense that we think about. So what does it mean for Abraham to look out and say, you know what, I'm looking for a city, a place where God has built, where he laid the foundation, where he is the architect? As far as I understand biblically, Canaan wasn't that place literally of a city that's foundation was laid by God and its architect. They just built streets and all these sorts of things for Abraham to take hold of right then and right there. The idea here is, Abraham was looking for a place bigger and grander than what he could have done himself. The idea here is that God is intimately involved with choosing where Abraham is headed. And we see that spiritually, Abraham had his vision set on what God wanted. And so God here, through the Holy Spirit, tells us as he reads Abraham's heart, he says that Abraham was set on looking for a place that had foundation, that was going to last, that God purposed to remain, and also that God had designed. This is so much bigger than the land of Haran, where Abraham was from, where he began in Ur of the Chaldees. It seems like Abraham was willing to leave those places because he saw them as not having a foundation. He saw them as not having been built by God and not purposed to remain by God. But God chooses for him somewhere else, and Abraham, because he can see what he's really after, chooses to leave and follow God. What I'd suggest to you this morning is also that we're very similar. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, we see a couple reasons why Abraham does this, and I think there's some good application for us that we'll get to here in a minute. Abraham did it by faith. Very simply put, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, referencing Genesis chapter 12, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Simply put, Abraham did it because he believed. He had faith in the person leading him, in God. Abraham did it by knowledge. Look again in these same verses. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. Look in verse 9. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise. There seems to be an understanding on Abraham's part about what God intended for him. Remember back in Genesis chapter 12, God made it very clear as to his intent with moving Abraham. He said, by moving you, I'm going to bless you in these various ways. And Abraham comes to find out later as we read in Genesis that there's some very particular things that God is going to do through him in this land. We understand that Abraham receives what we might call the three promises. And he understands those as being, as we might say, land, seed, and nation. He's given a physical place to dwell, land. He's given physical children, seed, and he's given nation, his people will endure as Israel. And we understand their spiritual ramifications, and really the intent of those promises are spiritual in nature. He understood these things as he followed God in faith. He began to have knowledge of what God intended. And we see that reflected here in Hebrews chapter 11. But also, he did it by vision. As we saw in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, for he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. We might not say that that's vision as we understand it, a physical vision. There wasn't literally something for him to behold that God had erected, that literally had a foundation, that God was the architect or designer of. But he had vision in the sense of he knew spiritually where he needed to be and what God would set up for him. For us, we follow a very similar pattern. God gives us a command. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Certainly God gives us commands in the sense of very specific things that we're to do, and we could take a lot of time looking at all the different commandments that God has given people throughout history and even to us as Christians today. But in a general sense, I want to look at a command that God gives us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 12 through 13, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside of the camp, bearing his reproach. As this text talks about in the greater context of Hebrews, Jewish Christians were having a large, huge temptation to leave Christianity and go back to Judaism. That seems to be what primarily is being hit on in Hebrews. And so the writer of Hebrews addresses a lot of imagery that Jews would understand, would be intimate with, and be familiar with. And so in that conversation, he invokes this image of a city. The city being historically the place where God dwelt. And so if God leaves the city, you no longer want to be in the city. You want to be where God is. So when we go to Hebrews chapter 13, and we read a verse like verse 12, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside of the gate. Here's a general command for Christians, particularly the Jewish Christians. We have to leave that city. And in verse 13, let us go out to him outside of the camp, bearing his reproach. Very simple command. Follow Jesus where Jesus is. And in this context, Jesus is pictured as being outside of a city. So go outside of that city. Go where Jesus is. We have that command to follow Jesus. Look also in Hebrews chapter 12. We'll pick up in verse 22. I think for the imagery that we're thinking of this morning with a city, I think this is a very appropriate passage. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels. And if we look down in verse 24, there's several things that coming to God can be equal to. In verse 22, and what I want us to focus on, that coming to God is equal to coming to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. But in verse 24, we also see that and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. If we follow Jesus, it's like coming to the city of the living God. We also see in verse 23, it's like coming to this general assembly of the church of the firstborn. And in a sense, you come to God, the judge of all. By following Jesus, you come to a bunch of different things. You enter into the general assembly of the church. You come before God, the righteous judge. But in verse 22, it says that we come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. If we follow Jesus, we, like Abraham, are looking for a city. We're chasing after or going to the city of God. And just like Abraham, our blessings hinge on command. If we fulfill commandments, we understand, just like in Genesis chapter 12, that there are blessings fulfilling those commandments of God. Look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. I think this might be the most simple statement about this fact that we can find in the Bible. When we come to Jesus, there are blessings in fulfilling his commands. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in Christ. When we follow Christ, when we fulfill the general command of Hebrews 13 and go where Jesus is, seek out Jesus, bear his reproach, then we understand that by doing that and through Jesus, we're given blessings. And we could spend a lot of time talking about the particular ins and outs of every blessing that God offers us, whether they're physical or spiritual. But we know that there are blessings that God gives us for chasing after Him, for following Him. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, very simply states that they exist in Christ Jesus. Well, just like Abraham, we have to make an answer. We have to give an answer to this command. Do we seek Jesus out despite wherever He might be, despite the difficulties, as the Hebrew Christians might identify, of going outside of the camp? Do we seek Him out? I mean, in Hebrews chapter 13, it says that there's going to be a reproach to bear in seeking out Jesus. Have you answered like Abraham did? In Genesis chapter 12, it doesn't say Abraham said, "I will definitely do that." The only account that we have is the next thing we see is him just doing it. We don't have a quote from Abraham. We don't have inside reasoning where he says, "You know, I'm going to do this because I've weighed the pros and cons, and I think the pros vastly outweigh the cons." We just see him acting. We see him moving. Have you moved? Because sometimes we can intellectually understand that something's better for us, that we believe it, but we never actually move. Are we willing to move like Abraham did? Look in Hebrews 13:13 again. That's an encouraging verse for us to move. Let us go out to him outside of the camp. It doesn't say make up your mind to go outside of the camp and just sit there. Go out, move, make action. Have we answered like Abraham did? Are we willing to move where we are to be where Jesus is? I think when we ponder this question, are we willing to move? Are we willing to act for God? Are we willing to chase down wherever He may lead us? A fundamental issue, just like Abraham, that we might have is we can't really see where we're going. Wouldn't that have been a legitimate excuse in our eyes or our estimation for Abraham not to do what God said? I mean, I don't have a definite plan. You don't have like an apartment lined up for me that I don't know about, do you? I mean, Abraham had no idea where he was going. We've already read the verse where it says in Hebrews 11, without knowing where he was going, he went. That was not a legitimate excuse for not going out. He had to do it regardless of if God told him where he was going and where he'll be staying and what he'll be eating or not. Do we have the same vision that Abraham did? Again, in verse 13 of Hebrews 13, let us go out to him outside of the camp, bearing his reproach. It's not going to be easy all the time. Following Jesus wherever Jesus is and heeding that command to be a part of the city of God is not easy. There's a reproach to bear. There's difficulties to be had, just like Abraham had. But are we willing to have the same vision? And what I mean by that is, recall in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, it said of Abraham that he was looking for a city whose architect, or had a foundation, an architect and builder was God. Do we have that same kind of vision? Because if we do, we're going to move regardless of whether or not there's physical preparation for us or not. Whether it's physically difficult or not, because all we see are the spiritual blessings of being there where God has built for us a place. Look in Revelation chapter 21. God gives us a lot of motivation and a lot of reasoning to heed what he has to say, just like he did for Abraham. He didn't just say, "Abraham, I want you to move," and that was it. He gave Abraham additional motivation. He said, "I want you to move. I want you to go a place that I'm going to show you. But if you do, here's what's in store." And you remember those blessings in Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 2, really going through verse 3. Well, God gives us a similar motivation. He gives us a vision. He helps us see what Abraham saw. In Revelation chapter 21, we'll read several verses, and I want you just to imagine yourself like Abraham, chasing after wherever God's telling you to go, wherever that may lead you, not focused on what's physically in front of you, but thinking about something like this. Thinking about a city that has a foundation where the architect and builder is God, because I believe that's really what's pictured here. Beginning in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. Skipping down to verse 22, and we'll read through chapter 22, verse 5. Beginning in verse 22, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple, and the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed. And they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. You can just imagine Abraham in Genesis 12 hearing this command, hearing the proposition of the blessings that hinge on the command, and thinking, what am I going to do? So he decides to move. He moves his whole family and whatever servants he had obtained in Haran. He moves Lot, he moves his wife, moves some kids. They all move. And he's just kind of wandering about, letting God decide where they're going to go. That's a stressful situation. Like I said, I've never moved with kids, I've never moved with family, I've never moved with servants. But I can only imagine the stress of that situation, the uncertainty of that situation. But it doesn't seem like Abraham ever let it stress him out. We don't have any indication of him worrying too much about it. The only thing that's ever really said about Abraham's thought process was in Hebrews chapter 11. And the primary thing that's said about it was that he wasn't really so much concerned about physically what was happening, but rather that he was looking for a city with a foundation whose architect and builder was God. Sometimes when we struggle to decide if we're going to do the things God asks us to do, it's because we lose our vision. It's not because we don't want to do it. We really do want to do what God says. But we get caught up on the ins and outs of what it means to do what God says. We get caught up on the motivation to do what God says. And we lose our vision. God offers us plenty of motivation to retain our vision and to retain our zeal. He tells us right at the beginning, there's going to be a reproach to bear. We know it's going to be difficult. But we get to passages like this one that help us picture the kinds of things that God has in store. That help us picture what it is to really look and have eyes set on that spiritual city. And it's through passages like this that we, like Abraham, get up and go. Are you willing to get up and go? Maybe at one point you said, yeah, God, I really trust you. I really believe in you, and you went. But you're not so much going anymore. You've lost your vision. I'd encourage you to read this passage, to pray about it. If there's anything that any of us can do to help you get back on track spiritually, We'd ask that you'd ask us for help in that. We can pray with you and study with you. But if there's someone here this morning that maybe you've never heard what God asks you to do, and you've never even begun to go, you're the person that we're looking for right now. You're the person that needs to hear what God has to say, and you need to begin to do it. Because this city is not for the people who don't listen to God. We already saw that in these verses. Look again in verse 27. Nothing unclean will be in this place. No one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus is that Lamb. And if you don't know who He is, you're not going to be written in His Book of Life. So we'd encourage you also, if there's anything that we could do for you, to come while we stand and sing.